6 minutes gone past the 8 o'clock hour, welcoming you again to the Morning Crossfire 99.3 Nigeria. If my name is Mary Anna Cohn, from now till at 9 o'clock, we will be talking about, of course, the outcome of the 2023 presidential elections. We're still on the matter, unfortunately. Today we're going to be talking data and, of course, legalities surrounding the whole process. I'm being joined right now via telephone by Barrister Monday Ubani. Also, we'll be joined virtually by Adenike Aloba. She is the Programs Director of Data Fights, and both of them are going to be talking to us in a minute. Barrister Ubani, good morning, and thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure for having me.
Great. Barrister Ubani, I'll start with you before our data lady joins us. Many people have complained about, you know, the legalities of what happened, on February 25. But one of the most important sections of the Electoral Act that people have continuously harped upon is Section 60, subsection 5 of the Electoral Act, where a lot of Nigerians are stuck at, especially when INEC had told Nigerians that they were going to use the beavers. But let's start with INEC following the Electoral Act. With all of the push that Nigerians gave for the Electoral Act to be approved, can you say that INEC has one way or the other proved its mettle?
Never. You never did. Yeah, if you ask me, I don't know whether this election was conducted with 2010 Electoral Act. If you remember what happened after the amendment of the Electoral Act in 2010, there was that general election that took place in 2011.
Yeah.
That was the general election that produced President Jonathan. We had similar situation of what we have experienced with enhanced Electoral Act. There were issues of failure to recognize certain, even the president, Jonathan, if you remember that when he went to go and cast his vote somewhere in Otuoke, there was issue with him and that of his wife because of the system, a systemic failure of the electoral process, and so many other people complained here and there. We also had issue of logistics. You know, INEC normally, usually do not come on time. And, you know, when election is built for 8, they will come by 11, some 12, some 2. And then before you know it, they said they were running up, you know, the electoral process. And then we also had issue, if you remember, in 2011, of having another 3 or 4 days before we declared the presidential result. And then we now say, look, we cannot continue like this in our electoral journey. We have come up as a nation. Let's do the right thing. Can we now deploy more of technology in our electoral process? And it was a very laborious, journey that we undertook, the CSOs, everyone, major stakeholders in our national life, took time to ensure that that is an amendment to the Electoral Act, which was a product which was produced in 2022. And everyone was so happy that there's going to be real improvement in our electoral fairness. Of course, there was this issue of electronic transmission of result. There was this issue of, electronic device that can be used, to ensure that the fairness of the process is guaranteed. And I make it up with beavers and marketed it, that it's going to be transmission rate time, from the polling unit. And we saw a bit of it being employed in the Osun electoral, electoral process, and we're so happy that some of us, deployed a lot of young ones who were very, who were always showing our party to electoral process. No, gentlemen, this time around is going to be different. We almost come out because the choice is ours now. The power lies with the people to make, re-change in the system. Mm-hmm. And so with that promise, you can see the enthusiasm and everyone came up. Now, I participated. I didn't do observation. I went to the electoral polling unit.
Okay.
In order to see how this will actually play out. And while we finished and the result counted and announced and recorded, then it came to the time of, can you upload? The young man came back to me After he hesitated and said, "Mr. Bani, I'm very sorry to tell you that what I discovered now in the process is that they gave me a wrong password." I said, "What? Beg your pardon. What are you saying? You mean, didn't you do, you know, why would they give you a wrong password in the first place? Is it something deliberate?" "No, he told me now it's not something deliberate, that it must have been a mistake." So I thought it was something that is only peculiar to my polling unit. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I asked three of the agents, APC, PDP, and Labour. I said, "Please, I'm giving you guys money now. I got a bus. Follow them to Equa and local government where they will go and do the collection. Let them be. Make sure that the result is uploaded. Mm-hmm. You know. So they went and came back and told me that it was, but eventually found out that it was not uploaded. So they did. They used a trick on them and said that, "Yeah, no, he has gone. He has been uploaded." So it was when the results, on Sunday, when we expected that by now people would go to the website of INEC and begin to see all the results online real time, we discovered, that it was a general situation that across the country, all over, that either they complained they were giving wrong password, or they were complaining that there was network issue. One excuse or the other. Yeah. Well, INEC came up to own up and say they did not allow uploading because there was an attempt to hack there. Manner of silly excuses. I became worried. Immediately I posted on my Facebook and said, I hope INEC will not mess up this great opportunity that has been given to them. And I tell you this, perception is real. No matter what INEC we do by way of in explanation, either today, tomorrow, whatever, INEC failed Nigerians big time, because a lot of people in enthusiasm were actually engineered towards seeing, as the results have been counted and recorded, they will see it online immediately, simultaneously, making the fairness of the process to be believed. But we now saw videos of people now going back to the collection to go and alter results. We saw video of people writing, thumbprinting again. So meaning we have gone back to 2010 act, because that is actually what happened in 2010. When we now saw that, use beavers. We're not supposed to be seeing thumbprinting again. People sitting in one place, in one room, and start thumbprinting. What are they bypassing the beavers now? And we saw results coming out. We saw what happened in Port Harcourt. We saw what happened in some all over the Federation, where people were, all manner of alteration and manipulation of the electoral process, which means we have gone back to 2011. And results were now used, being counted and done manually, different from the electronic, thing that all of us. And of course, you had the Senate president saying there was no provision. Imagine if the Senate president said that there was no provision in the act for electronic transmission. What were the debate about the issue of network or non-network? Remember, if you remember vividly, we all went further and backwards, on the issue of electronic transmission. Virtually, the majority of the people had their way in ensuring that that particular transmission was inserted into the act. But the Senate president now was bold enough, because to justify all manner of things that have happened in this electoral process, to not lie to the entire nation that there was no such provision in the act. So my view and my, the summary of my statement is that INEC failed Nigerians big time. Even if probably there are some places where there were upsets here and there, I will not use it to justify the perception of Nigerians. I tell you this, if you go on the street, if you look at the social media, Nigerians are not too happy with what INEC has done in 2023 general election, apart from Iwu's election, which was full of uru. 2007 was the worst ever. I was doing something yesterday. I went into the archives, to search for state by state analysis of election of 2007, and it was never. All election from 1999, if you go to internet, you will see all the state by state analysis. 2000 election was so bad that there was no such a reflection in the internet that I speak to you. Nobody knew what any state scored. What INEC did under you was that INEC just allocated results and percentages. It gave Vera Dua 60-something%, almost 70% election result, and then gave other ones 1 point something another. So it was pure allocation. And this is what people are saying with 2023, even though there exists some level of, you can't compare it to 2007, but this one really fell short of the implementation of the process we went through in having a new law. We were thinking that this new law will change the story and change the narrative.
Okay, Barisabani, I'm going to come back to you to talk more about the legalities of this election. But Adenike Aloba just joined us. She is of DataFight. Now, Adenike, I've seen publications from DataFight. I've seen how people voted, the voting patterns and across the country. Now, we know that Nigeria is a country that's divided along ethnic and religious lines, and many people would have thought that because of who the front runners for the different political parties were in this election, that would have affected the voting patterns in this election. How true is that? Did people vote along religious and ethnic lines, or did we see a different, you know, voting pattern? Educate us, please.
Okay, so good morning. Thank you for having me again this morning. I think it's safe to say that people voted. There was an intersection of that religion and ethnic lines, really. If you look at the results, the president-elect cleared out almost all the Southwest regions. Just to be sure, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I can hear you loud and clear.
Hi, Marianne, can you?
Yes,
okay.
I can hear you.
So, I mean, yeah. So the president-elect cleared out almost all the regions in the Southwest. Peter Obi from the East cleared out the East. And I think the outlier here, and a lot of people are not talking about that, is that PDP, represented by Atiku Abubakar, actually won states in the North when, in previous elections, at least in 2019 elections, PDP only won one state in the North. Again, what was apparent is the North will vote. What it looks like is that the North will vote for a Northerner. Mm. And we saw that play out in these elections. We saw it play out with Peter Obi of Labour Party clearing out the Southeast. So, yes, we don't want it to look like that. You will think from all the noise, you know, around this election, especially around, you know, the thought force, and we're no longer paying attention to these things. But what it looks like is that, yes, Nigerians still voted the way they've always voted. Hmm. And if you take that conversation and layer it over voter turnout, you see why this is playing out again. Voter turnout in this election is the lowest in the history of Nigeria. Voter turnout was 27.05%.
Wow.
In 2019, voter turnout was 34.75%. Now, as I waited, you know, just to come up on the program, I started comparing the data 2019, 2023, 2015 to see which states spiked. Were there states that, you know, in this election, maybe some new people voted that we may think, oh, maybe this. But the reality is that almost across all states, voter turnout was lower.
Wow.
This is what it says to me.
Adenike, are you still there? Oh, I think that we've lost Nike's connection. Adenike, can you hear me? I'm waiting for us to be able to get... Okay, I think you're back. We lost you for a second, Adenike. You were trying to tell us why you think the voter turnout for 2023, an election year that had many people traveling from outside the country to participate in the election, an election year that saw new and young voters getting a high percentage. I mean, with all of the hype, whether it be for PDP, APC, and Labour Party, you're telling me that this particular election cycle had a very, very low turnout. What is responsible for that?
Very low turnout. I mean, what it looks like is that the same people who have voted before, it looks like they were just the ones who are voting again. And what that means is that if Nigeria had historically voted along regional and religious lines, if the same set of people are the ones coming out to vote, then that's exactly what happened again. So a lot of the pain, a lot of the, I mean, well justified, if you have campaigned for a candidate or you've done a lot of work to I mean, I know how much work was put into people getting their PVCs, but here is what the data says. In fact, this data, this 27.05%, is voter turnout when you're calculating by the percentage of accredited voters. If you calculate by the percentage of people who actually cast their vote on election day, it's lower. It's way lower. So for me, the big question, I mean, since yesterday that I've been grappling with this data is, what do we need to do to get Nigerians to move from audio change makers to actually get and casting the vote? Lagos is one of the places that, you know, we had a lot of participation. Yeah. So Lagos was a place where we had a lot of participation, but voter turnout in Lagos increased by less than 2%. It was in 2019, voter turnout in Lagos was, let me confirm that number. In 2019, voter turnout in Lagos was 17.6. In 2023, voter turnout in Lagos was 18.92. Marginal.
Very slim margin. I'm still just as you, grappling with to understand why this is happening. Because...
yeah.
You also made a statement that I want to probe a bit. You talked about the fact that if you marry the number of people that had been accredited and the number of people that voted, it's totally different. But in this election, we had accreditation and voting happened simultaneously. So what could have gone wrong?
The simple answer to this question is people did not come out to vote. That's it. That's the even though we saw a lot of, oh, I'm staying here until 12, I'm staying here until, you know, I'm going to make sure I cast my vote. And that those, I was expecting to see record numbers of voter turnout. But the simple answer to this question, Marianne, is people didn't come out to vote. Which for me takes me back to something that I've been clear on this. I always think, if we do not take all of this passion and all of this interest, if we do not get back to the grassroots to change something from bottom up, I worry what we'll be talking about in 2027 when it's time for another election cycle. Because obviously, all of that noise translated to 27.06% voter turnout.
Quickly, Barrister Obani, let me come to you. Because... I remember my polling unit, I could count the people on the line. They were not up to 10. And I was the last person. And I voted in less than 5 minutes, just as I said. So my polling unit, and I interviewed the guys at the polling unit, and they said the voter turnout was really low. They expected to see more people, but you know. So Barrister Obani, I tossed the same question to you. If we had this low turnout, and still had the hiccups that we were experiencing with INEC, and INEC talking about the system being overloaded, etc., etc., how much more if we all came out to vote en masse as we promised ourselves that we would? And just as Adenike said, the audio commitment as opposed to coming out in person. If we really are fighting for good governance and a democracy, what will it take for the average Nigerian to get involved in the process? And quickly, the fact that people are saying to me today, I'm never coming out to vote because I was disenfranchised, is this not going to reduce further the number of people who come out to vote?
I think from now onwards, we need to study INEC. Let's leave even the electorate, you know, and look at that institution. One, I think INEC is loading these figures of people who they allegedly registered for election, all in a bid to get millions or billions out of the system.
How so?
We need to interrogate the figures that INEC generate at those who registered in the light of what has happened. Then secondly, we also need to interrogate INEC with regards to registration of voters. You and I know that many persons were claiming that INEC did not give them their VVC.
Talk, news, and sports after this.
99.3 Nigeria Info.
It's still the Morning Crossfire. 8:33 is the time on the clock. My name is Mariana Korn, and we are still talking about, of course, voting patterns in the just concluded elections and certain legalities and illegalities that happened on that day. Before we went at the break, Barrister Mondo Bani has been on the phone with us, Adenike Aloba of Data Fight, giving us the data here. Barrister Bani, apologies, Zeta crept up on us. Now, you were talking to us, you were responding to a question that I asked earlier on. Please go ahead. Barrister Bani, can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. That was a very long one.
Yes.
I was saying the INEC, some of the figures they churned out in terms of Nigerians that registered, we need to really interrogate it. We also found out that many persons registered and they were not able to pick their PVC. And I've said it several times. Why don't we do this issue of PVC, you know, the way we go to bank now and then collect our ATM card? Under 1 second, these things can be processed by the bank. Why can't we do that? Why is it that you have to go and register and then when you now come back to come and pick your card, I next start giving you one excuse or the other? There are many Nigerians who registered and never picked their PVC. But we saw PVC in one distance where it was dumped in the bush. I hope you saw it. Mm. How come that PVC is nowhere taken out of INEC and dumped inside the bush? Which all of us, and up to now, INEC has not issued a statement to that effect. Mm. So we have to query that figure in the first place of those who registered. Mm. Now, you also know that under this election, the beavers, you know, even one way or the other is a game changer in terms of, you know, accreditation. Mm. You cannot come now and become, you know, a participate in the process if your name is not there and your biometrics cannot in any way be made, because either you are by facial or by hand, you recognize a human being. Mm-hmm. So if you like, go and give PVC to a goat and all that, a goat cannot in any way be recognized by that beavers. So that, again, has actually reduced these bloated figures we always brandish over the years. Mm. With this issue of electronic transmission, electronic deployment into the electoral process, you know, it reduces the human interference in the system. And so it makes the system to be a bit thinner, and there will be some level of integrity and clarity. That's why you don't see all those figures usually, you know, have in Kano. Imagine Kano, that they usually come up with 5 million voters this year, and I don't think they're up to 1.5. Of course, Lagos, we have 5 million Nigerians who are living in Lagos. Mm. You can see how many that actually, the total turnout of those who actually voted and others. So what I'm saying is that we must interrogate the integrity of those figures, because I understand that for every voter, INEC claims some certain amount of money per person. And so they will come out with all those figures in order to, and at the end, they boggle the entire thing. Over 400 billion was spent for this electoral, you know, jamboree we have been, you know, which would have used to develop our basic infrastructure. But the entire process, you know, turned out to what it is. But what I want to say is that Nigerians must not lose hope at all. Mm-hmm. We have made some level of movement in terms of inches. We have made some level of movement in terms of inches. They were very good, you know, with the National Assembly election. You see what happened with the National, because I understand that there was other uploading on those ones. But why they were not interested in uploading that of the presidency, I don't know why. That now made it now that people begin to doubt the fairness of the process. I understand that some of the political parties now who are in the opposition have all their, you know, physical election result. Mm. You know, that most of them were tampered with at the end of the day, and certain things that were uploaded later on was not what was actually a reflection of the polling unit result. So these things will come out even as the days, you know, go by, so that we can be able to know what we do, what we should do as a nation to correct this kind of error that INEC has actually put us into.
Okay. And then you get back to you. Before the final announcement of the winner, you know, we saw the slow snail speed of coalition of results. It took us more than 48 hours to, you know, get the results in. And INEC has been tagged all kinds of names. INEC has been called a fraud. They've been called complicit. We saw political parties asking for the head of the INEC chairman, et cetera, et cetera. The likes of Yaga Africa has also said that INEC needs to go back to investigate some of these claims, especially for Imo State and some other places. I remember somebody calling from Imo State and saying that he was at his polling unit till evening. There was no election, no electoral material, absolutely nothing. They went to the RAC Center. Yeah. Nobody was there. But then on going to the IREV, they saw results from their polling units. So how can we say that these elections were free, fair, and credible? And how can INEC be able to hold his head? Or, you know what they say, Caesar's wife is above suspicion. Can we actually categorize INEC in that regard?
I think that free, fair, and credible are probably not the adjectives we will use to describe these elections. Not because we're seeing things we've not seen before, but because INEC promised better.
Okay.
And they could not deliver better. And so it's just, for me, I said INEC just made themselves a scapegoat. Ordinarily, if all things had worked well, it would have been clear which political party was doing what. It would have been easier to see, to be able to put blame where it should be, to be able to say, prosecute that person. But now everybody is saying, INEC, prosecute yourselves because you guys messed up. I mean, I think it was on your show that I can't recall, but he was calling in from Rivers and he was saying that if INEC wants us to trust them, then produce the guys in this polling unit who messed up. Mm. Produce the people in these places who didn't do the right thing. Mm. Show us a transparent process of why did you show up at 2 p.m.? Why did you show up at 11 a.m.? Why didn't you show up at all? How come your ink finished?
Yeah.
Come up and tell us this, and this is the materials that was given to each polling unit in this area. This is what they got. Really, if they want to find a way somehow to give people some sense of closure around this election issue, the one thing I cannot say, understanding the dire straits that Nigeria is in, is that for the entire elections to be rerun. I honestly can't say that. It costs too much.
Yeah.
It costs too much for us to say, take $305 billion, throw it away and start all over again. It just costs too much for us to say that. But INEC has to show us some transparency in how they are handling all these complaints and all these, you know, challenges to the results that they presented.
Quickly, in 1 minute, because I want to go back to Barrister Obani and take a few calls. Why do you think that INEC has refused to address any of these issues? I mean, even before the coalition started, because we saw what happened at the National Coalition Center where there was a walkout. Why do you think that they have outrightly not, you know, addressed these issues and told us to go to court as opposed to, you know, invoking the powers that the Electoral Act has given to them?
So, again, there is, and this is the law, so nobody should beat me up for this. It is within their discretion to determine this is something to pause over and go back, and it's within their discretion to use those powers. And really, yes, it's obvious to us that, hey, you could have paused. Some of these things were legitimate. You could have paused and said, but at the end of the day, it is within their discretion to say, well, I think this is something worth pausing this over. Or I think, no, everybody go to court right now. So I think that if we really want to follow through, is to actually take up that challenge and go to court. I know our judicial system is what it is. Okay. I know, but we need to have follow through.
Okay.
So the other option is what? Fold our hands and say, well, it's what's done is done. That's the other option. So, I mean, we can't, because we're not in the INEC chairman's head, we can't say what made you decide. He can choose to be transparent and say, yes, I know that the Electoral Act says this and this and this, but, you know, having examined so-and-so, having listened to maybe the state's coalition center, you know, chairman or something, having listened to them, I determined that this wasn't something to... He can be transparent with his explanations, but I don't think people should give up and just fold their hands and say, and I'm not calling for protest or anything like that. I'm saying if you have a genuine reason, go to court.
Okay. You know? Let me go to Barrister Obani. Barrister Obani, this is your area. Now, for, in the news this morning, some of the paper headlines that I read out is obviously about the fact that Dati Ahmed is saying that they will, you know, pursue this in court. And several other people are pushing, you know, for the issue to be addressed in court. So petitions are being written right now. The opposition party appears to be set for a legal challenge, even though some people are saying it won't work. The Supreme Court has, you know, the final saying in all of these petitions. So tell us, talk to us about the timeline of petitions against results and when can they be filed in court after the announcement of the results. And there are many who have questioned, you know, the legality, let me not use the word legality, there are many people who have questioned if the courts can handle this and bring justice to the average voter, not just the political parties. This is your jurisdiction. What would you say?
What if I decline jurisdiction?
You can't.
I may choose to be silent because anything I say may be used against me in evidence.
Yes.
Now, let me say this. The truth of the matter is that at the most as possible as a nation, we should try to isolate the judiciary from deciding political issues. Our electoral process should be handled by the people. It should end at the polling unit where the mandate of the people should actually reflect in the results and then in the recruitment of leadership. We have been taking much of this thing outside the people, and most time we see sometimes they caught some assault. I'm delivering a paper in South Africa by the grace of God in June on the issue of involvement of judiciary in our electoral process in African continent. We have seen in some instances, you know, where they get it right. We have also seen in some instances where the will of the people have been perverted. You saw what happened in Imo State where, you know, it is still a reference point that a number fourth person, the person who came number four, became number one.
Mm.
And that is clearly not a triumph of the people. It was also to what happened with Lawan, the current president of the Senate, in the primary election, where, according to, you know, information, there was a proper election on the 28th of May that was conducted in which somebody emerged. But all of a sudden, you know, there was no reason for the cancellation. Another one was held at night, and somebody who never participated, you know, was said to have become, and the Supreme Court upheld it. So it's a bit sometimes dicey in placing so much reliance.
So, Barrister Bani, why should we trust this process if it's
The point is that there is no other way. There's no other way. If INEC, as rightly pointed out, I have been given some level of reviewing the electoral process, now say, oh, we're not going to review anything, let's hand it over entirely to the judiciary. And I think this is where the judiciary comes. I've said it openly, that the day Nigerian judiciary begin to do the right thing, I say it, 80% of Nigerians' problem, you know, will be solved. Nobody will do anything in this country with impunity, whether at the criminal level or at the civil level. Because you know that by the time the matter gets to the court and the judiciary is standing for the sake of justice, irrespective of pocket or status, I can assure you that everyone will buckle up. Everyone will, you know, will mind his leg, knowing fully well that judiciary is there for upright thing, you know. So I'm saying it may work. It has happened in this country where we think that somebody has done it with impunity and have gotten away. Before you know it, the judiciary now said, no, you cannot. And they stood their ground. I don't know whether it will happen, but whatever it is, there is no other method left for Nigerians now other than a resort to judicial intervention.
Okay.
You cannot go to the street. You cannot in any way destroy Nigeria. You cannot create unnecessary crisis or create war. No, we don't need it. Because this country is our country and we need to build it together. And as I said, I'm proud to be a Nigerian because we have made some level of movement. But the expectation wasn't met. But that does not mean that we should give up hope. Nobody should become voter. No, there shouldn't be any apathy at all.
Okay.
We are coming out on 11th of March in order also to exercise our franchise. And I'm encouraging Nigeria not to give up because we are getting there. The recovery of the nation is nearer than when we first believed.
All right. Thank you very much, Barrister Bani. Let's take a few calls and comments. Join the conversation if you want to ask questions, if you want to participate in the conversation. So call 0700-993-993-993. That's 0700-993-993-993. You could also be part of the conversation if you are calling from outside the country via Skype. We're Nigeria Info FM on Skype. And you can tweet at us at Nigeria Info. But let's quickly take some calls before we wrap this up. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Maria, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I hear when I think it was saying that there's no voter turnout. Am I right?
Yes, she did say that this was the lowest so far.
This is the lowest.
Yes.
I don't agree with her.
She has the data.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
If she's judging based on the registered voters, no, before now, people for the north, they will give you wrong estimate, 2 million. Understand, but because of the divers, there is a accurate number given to us. So maybe they're working with that number. If you look at the statistics from the last previous election, you should choice, make a judgment with that one, with this one. You will not see that what she's saying, I don't think is true.
Thank you very much for calling. I think somebody's calling us on Skype. Let's take that call from Tony. Oh, dear. Tony, can you hear me? Good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Tony, where are you calling us from? Hello, Tony. Can you hear me? Hello, Tony. Are you there? All right, Tony.
Hello, good morning, Mary.
Yes, I can hear you now. Go ahead, quickly. You have 60 seconds.
Okay. I actually got committed into the election just because of that word transmission, mm-hmm. or maybe transmitted. So I was heartbroken when I started hearing, oh, we never promised this. So I would like to ask Barrister Obari, is it the guidelines or is it the Electoral Act? Or what did the Electoral Act say about transmission of results? Because we are hearing different stories from Lawa, from, and I could remember vividly well that even NCC was called to Senate to explain. So after all these explanations, coming out to tell us that they never promised us this, I don't know where we are going from here.
Okay.
But like Mr. Barrister Obari said, Nigeria shouldn't give up. I think we've achieved so much through this and we're still going to do more. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you very much, Tony, for calling. Barrister Obari, would you care to respond? Okay. Barrister Obari, can you hear me? Oh, dear. I think we lost Barrister Obari. But Nike, I think the first caller, she said she queried your statistics and the data that you have.
So I know it feels weird to see all of the energy and all of the push on social media and to hear that voter turnout was this low. But the data is what the data is. In 2019, voter turnout was 34.75. In 2015, it was 43.65. 2011, 53.68. It goes up as it goes back. 2023, voter turnout was 27.05. So, yes, I know it feels like, how? But that's just the reality of the numbers. Mm. It's just, and, you know, just to address the question of people approaching the court. So a couple of civic tech organizations have come together, DataFight, STAIRS, Civic Hive, Enough is Enough Nigeria, have come together and put a platform. It's called Elections Watch. electionswatchng.com.
Okay.
And the point is, go there, upload the polling unit results that you have, and on that platform you can compare it with what's on INEC. Because if we're going to build a case to take to court, then we have to be able to provide evidence. So electionswatchng.com, go there, look at the platform, upload the polling unit result that you have, and then you get the opportunity to compare it with what is on INEC's IREV, and if there's a discrepancy, from there we can build a case. From there we can even build some advocacy around what went wrong, what didn't go right, and some of these. So I am wary of some of the social media images showing manipulation. Mm-hmm. I am wary because fake news is a mammoth,
yes,
and it's eating up a lot of things. We're in a post-truth world.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an opportunity for you to actually build a case. Go to electionswatchng.com. Upload the polling unit result that you snapped by yourself. Some of us have been saying, hey, I took the results. What's on IREV is not it. You get the chance to upload that and compare it with what's on INEC's IREV. We're doing a lot of work to make sure that we have everything that INEC has on their IREV.
Mm.
So you can compare and then you can begin to build a case. Because, you know, like the barrister said, we don't have a recourse but to the courts.
Yeah.
That's the only recourse we have.
Well, because we're almost out of time, I want to quickly just read a message on WhatsApp. Just one message, and then we'll wrap things up here because we do not have time. Somebody says, good morning, Marianne. There was a massive voter systemic suppression in my polling unit. The registered voters were over 600, but only 56 people voted. And this goes to somewhat support what you said, Adenike. But I want to say thank you. Adenike Aloba is... somebody saying that I should tell you to be truthful, at least for once. Anyway, I want to say thank you. Adenike Aloba is with Data. She's from Data Fight. She is actually in charge of all of the data coalition for Data Fight. They make sure that they give us numbers, statistics from different parts of the country. Thank you very much, Adenike. Always a pleasure to have you on the show.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. I also want to say thank you to Barrister Monday Obani. Thank you so much. I think we lost Barrister Obani halfway through this call, but I want to say thank you once again for being part of the conversation. Thank you, Lagos, for enjoying the conversation and being part of the Morning Crossfire from 5 a.m. till now. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back tomorrow. It's Friday tomorrow. Hopefully, we will have something to smile and be excited about. But follow me on Twitter, Instagram, M-I-M-I-E-Y-O. Let's have some more conversations online. Just search for Mary Andrew Cook and everywhere else. Good morning, Lagos. Up next is Diebumi with Jimmy Disu, but right after that we'll have the sunny side at 3 p.m. But then What's Up Lagos comes up at 10. My name is Mary Anacon. Love you, Lagos.
99.3 Nigeria's at table for lunch. Mom is bringing in the jollof rice, and then.
And I want to assume that you would run because I want to give the listeners context for the conversation.
In 2019, you were running late to Atiku Abubakar. What did you learn then that you will not repeat this time?
Yes, when is the president coming out to address us?
There's a few things. One, I have a burden and a passion for young people.
The fact that you have elected a man does not mean then you begin to order him around. The president will do whatever is good for the country at any given time.
Mr. Adesina, isn't the president responsible to the people?
What should the next president do to root out stakeholders who are complicit?
You fire those that need to be fired, you're fired.
It's looking like a brand new Chelsea, attacking with so much fluidity. Now, what can you say about that, Martin? I know you follow Chelsea quite closely.
I live close to the Chelsea training ground. That's what you mean by that. I'm not a Chelsea.